You know, when it comes to wireless carriers, sometimes what you see isn't always what you get, except with Visible. With Visible, what you see is exactly what you get. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. With Visible, there are no hidden fees, no fine print, no hassle, nothing to hide. It's just $25 a month, all taxes and fees included. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. You can save on a line all to yourself with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And again, just $25 a month. The future of wireless is here, and it is transparent. If you want more transparency in your wireless plan, you want to be on the Visible plan. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. That's Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. This episode of GameScoop is sponsored by Squarespace. If you're looking for a way to make your business stand out and succeed online, Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for you. They take the stress out of creating an awesome website, engaging with your audience, and selling anything from products to content to time, so you're able to focus on, you know, everything else. In other words, you'll have more time for gaming. With the new guided design system, you can choose from curated layouts and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, optimized for every device. And with Squarespace's integrated, optimized SEO tools, you'll show up more often to more people. Squarespace doesn't just make things easier for you. Checkout for your customers is made seamless with simple but powerful payment tools that allow you to accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. So whether you're just starting out or looking to expand your existing brand, be sure to visit squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/gamescoop to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/gamescoop for 10% off. Come get some.
Beware, I live. IGN GameScoop.
Is this going to continue as a rap song?
It's such a great rap song. I got a zombie on me, and you can't harm me. Who do you voodoo, bitch?
What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN GameScoop. I'm your host, Damon Hatfield. That was the dulcet tones of one Greg Miller.
Hi, Damie.
Resident rapper here at IGN. And reviewer of Dead Island.
Yeah. Sunday.
Yeah, going up Sunday.
Yeah.
Ooh, weekend
review. The 9 a.m. embargo. Okay. I will also reveal, not in the review, but in a separate article and video, whatever happened to the family from the trailer.
Oh. Dun, 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 dun. Interesting. Very interested to hear that.
Wait, they actually is are the part answer of the game? They're fake and it doesn't matter?
No, that is not. I have searched every inch of Dead Island and there is no sign of the family.
Charles Agnette is also here.
Hello.
Hello, Charles. So, and Anthony Gallegos is here. All four of us, we've all been traveling together all over the world. Anthony and Charles and I were all in Germany covering Gamescom. Then Anthony and Greg and I were just in Seattle covering PAX.
Thanks for everybody for coming out. Thank you.
Greg Miller, how much do we love everybody who came to our panel, came to our meet and greet, came to my show on Saturday?
I love them a lot.
They're just, God, yeah. You guys are just so
They're good kids. They're good folks. They're good. They help us. They support us. A lot of them are coming to First Friday today.
They're all right.
Mm. Explain what First Friday
First Friday, ladies and gentlemen, if you didn't know, if you're ever in San Francisco and you want a tour of the IGN office, don't just come by. What happens is that the first Friday of every month, IGN hosts guided tours where you'll meet the editors, do Q&As, eat free cheese pizza. I hooked that one up. Mm-hmm. And get some swag, have some fun. So if you want to sign up for it, go to go.ign.com/firstfridayscoop. go.ign.com/firstfridayscoop.
You should do it like an infomercial. They read it like four times in a row from the phone number.
Spell out first.
They are filled for several months, though.
Exactly. Don't come here like August 31st and think you're getting September 1st. You got to plan ahead.
Interesting. They're already booked up, really?
It's really crazy.
Well, we're on the eve of a long holiday weekend here. It's Labor Day weekend here in the States. I hope everybody has some good barbecue plans over the weekend. But first,
does Deus Ex count as barbecue plans?
Yeah, I think so.
I'm going to play Resistance 3.
God, I wish I could play Deus Ex. I wish I could play Toy Soldiers Cold War and all these other games. But I'm still grinding through Disgaea 4, which I enjoy very much, actually.
What about Dead Island? Do you want to play Dead Island?
I want to play Dead Island as well.
You've seen me play some of it.
Yeah.
It's intriguing.
Yeah, so we started a new video feature this week called Review Preview.
Yeah, a lot of kids were mad about that name.
Well, see, but I don't know why.
Because they're kids, and they're mad about everything. We just had a whole podcast about this. Anything you do on the internet. And I've just called people kids. Now I have some 35-year-old somewhere in Ohio really mad.
I'm mad at you over here, Greg.
Can't win.
Charles is just eternally
he's
mad.
He's a raging Canadian. That's why we call him that. He's a spitfire.
I'll try to tone down the rage.
Thank you.
My fault.
But what we talked about in the review preview for Dead Island is that you turned me. I wasn't really excited about this game, but we had a beer and pizza date earlier this week.
Uh-huh.
And what turned me is when you described Dead Island as Fallout with zombies.
Yeah.
And I was on board. I was like, yeah, I'll play that.
I think it's interesting to watch our inside IGN popular opinion poll swing on this one, because the trailer came out and we were all like, oh my god, what a great trailer, but what does it mean? And then we saw the game and we're like, use a dead bitch now! We're like, oh, fuck this game. This game can suck it. And then, like, now I've actually played, like, 25 hours of it. That's being generous, maybe, on the lower side, but I'm excited to review it.
So, I mean, it's a long game, then. There's a lot of content there.
I mean, the easiest way is, and I mean, obviously, it's not, whatever, I can't say too much.
Okay.
Fallout with zombies. So, I mean, you're there's a ton of side quests, and literally on the first main area, I did all the side quests I could before moving on, but then I looked at the countdown of days in my life, and I was like, crap, I gotta review this game soon. So, like, literally the last 2 days have just been running through the story quest, and that's still, I mean, you figure that's still 20, 25 hours. So now I'm excited to go back and play it again and do all the quests I skipped.
Okay, well, I mean, and I don't know how much you can say, but are the side quests interesting, or is it just like, I left something valuable in a house, go find
Of course there are those goofy ones, yeah, the totally goofy ones of, like, this, like, deranged grown-ass woman who's like, I need my teddy bear. You have my teddy bear? And you're like, I'm going to go out and risk my life for this, but you're giving me a shotgun mod and XP, so yeah, I'll go do it for you.
Well, I mean, it would be cool if you're forced to make decisions like, hey, I think my daughter's over here, and then you find the daughter is, like, turned into a zombie, and then you sort of have to make that decision about how to complete the quest. I don't know if there's any variation.
Tough choices.
Not like that. There's not like that. They're all pretty straightforward. Go here, do this. And you can come back and report stuff that's happening. Like, there's stuff that goes on with relationships,
let's go over this company's this developer's
you want to go here, this is what you want
to
do now,
leading up to Dead Island.
This is, of course, Techland,
who previously, up to leading up to Dead Island release, nailed the really interesting ATV racing game.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean by interesting?
I mean interesting in that someone funded it. And then they also released
Call of Wars,
the most recent Call
Found
of Wars,
Blood.
Which just says to me the whole time they had their A squad working on Dead Rising, and these other companies got Dead Island.
I do it all
the time. And these other companies just got the shaft.
They had something. They did something in the. Are you talking most recent games? I was gonna say.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
Techland's done other stuff, but yeah.
Yeah, well, the old Call of Wars games weren't bad.
Yeah.
You know, it's just that they put their A squad on Dead Island apparently, and put their F squad on everything else.
It's an enjoyable game. That's not spoiling anything, but
more enjoyable with four players.
It depends who your four players are.
Okay.
For me, like, part of the reason I say it's enjoyable, so I enjoy the game. But like, one of the reasons you like that, spoiler. You like that description. I like it. I like how tense it is. It can be very, very tense. It can be very like I'm saying, I'm 20 hours in, and last night I was running from a zombie, and like my heart and my chest was still pounding because like you're running and you can't see behind you, but you can hear them like growling and being really close. Like, oh god, am I gonna make this turn? I gotta get home. But then you get four players, and I think if they're all going to be cool, like if we all played, it'd be fine. But like I played with one person, and we were very cool, not talking all that much. Okay, there's one ball. And then a third player got added, and it was a random, and he was just like, oh my god, I hit that zombie in the balls! Oh! I'm like, oh god, here we go. And like that totally breaks the like the tense experience of it.
Yeah, I guess that's going to be a lot of your experience with playing with random people.
It doesn't
people
break the tense
online.
Experience having some guy say, what are you, some voodoo shit? Yeah.
Well, he's not singing the entire time.
Who's the best character to play as?
I focused on the knives expert woman, and I've enjoyed her the most.
I would play the girl. Yeah. I always
play the
girl.
There's another girl, too. There's a firearms expert, too. But like, I don't think I'm spoiling anything by saying in previews they talked about, you know, firearms aren't readily available on the island for a while, so...
Does each character have a specific skill tree? Like, are they all different skill trees?
Yeah. When you go in to do your points, there's three sets of skill. There's three skill trees to go through that are, you know, doing combat and stuff like that, and you know, survival skills and stuff, and then this thing called Fury. And when you go down your combat tree, everybody has a specialization. Like, there's knives, there's blunt weapons, stuff like that, and they then start building off differently. And I was concerned because, like I said, there's not that many firearms in the game. So like, I started a firearms character the other day. I was like, well, it's going to suck for a long time, but the top of her combat tree is based on melee stuff and, like, knives. So you can actually get the base skills there that you'd need to survive at the very beginning of the game when you're using paddles and stuff.
Yeah,
so,
I'm just worried about how that, like, progresses throughout the game, because, like, if the skill tree is just, oh, now you do 4% more damage with knives, lulz.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know. That's not very, like, interesting. That doesn't make it exciting to, like, unlock new skills.
I was excited the whole time.
How big of a caricature are the various characters?
It's like, I haven't played all the way through with the rapper.
This is like 20 questions with Greg. We're just grilling Greg.
Well, and the best part is if any PR people are listening and getting upset, remember, we did plenty of previews. I had a preview build of the first thing, so we're fine. We're covered on all the questions they're asking. I've only played, as far as the girl I'm playing as, I've played a lot as her, the knives expert, and the firearms expert, both girls, not caricatures of people, like what we saw at that preview with the rapper, who is like the one who's going, "You's a dead bitch now!" But I just started that guy today, so I'm going to play for a while and see what his story, how bad he is.
That constantly.
Why is your character so good with knives?
I don't want to spoil the story for you.
Is it going to be something? I'm just wondering. Like, Techland has proven to me in the past they do some caricatures of racial profiling that's a little interesting. So I'm wondering, is she like a sushi chef or something?
She's an expert with knives.
Now, in the beginning, what happens is when you go to pick your character, because whenever you start a new game, you get to pick your character,
and then you're locked to that character.
Correct. Okay. It gives you, when you click to look at that character more closely and see like their stamina and all that stuff, they give you a backstory on them and they narrate it. Like, so, like the rapper starts off, he's like, "I'm from New Orleans, not the ward, blah, blah, blah." I mean, like, he talks for a while and gives a rundown of who he is and why he is, and so does the girl. And they have, why she's with knives makes sense. Why the other girls are
firing. She's a traveling knife salesman.
Jesus God, Anthony. Just play the game.
Does it contain that zombie movie cliche where you have to kill somebody who's turning into a zombie?
No, I don't think I haven't done all side quests, so I don't know. But they have a couple. I mean, of course, they have some cliche in there. Yep. And they pointed out at one point, like in one of the loading screens, just stick with the classic, aim for the head. I'm like, oh man, that's fine.
Can you be turned into a zombie?
You cannot. That's the whole shtick here.
You're immune.
That's why it's a 4-player co-op game. And in cutscenes, if you're playing with even if you're not playing with people, they put the other characters in there just so if somebody ever dropped in. And those 4 people are the only people we know of on the island who are immune to everything that's happening. So that's why they, like, can you go get my teddy bear? Can you get me a bottle of champagne? Well, there's a bigger thing going on here, lady.
That's the thing in zombie movies. Whenever you see it, it's like, you're immune to the zombie virus. That's true. But if you get bit by a rotting-ass mouth, you're still going to die of a horrible infection. Like, anyways.
That's why you don't get bit.
So you got to use that Neosporin.
Who do you voodoo, Neosporin, bitch? Works really well. Mm. Well, it's good to see that the game turned out pretty well. Yeah, after, you know, there were some concerns along the way. But,
yeah.
Looks all like
it's well that ends well.
You know, another game that actually turned out pretty well that we may have been guilty of giving a hard time in the past.
Driver San Francisco.
Yeah.
No.
I'm in the ambulance.
What did that end up getting on?
IGN gave it an 8.
We gave it an 8.0.
Who gave it an 8.0?
Keza?
Keza, and one of our UK editors reviewed that one.
They don't know what it's like to drive.
Whatever, I like Keza.
I was looking at the Metacritic score is 7.8, so it's right out there. Everyone seemed to actually enjoy the game.
So is it still Driver Ghost Dead?
Yes, it is still Driver Coma Mode.
So I think it turns out that Coma Mode, as ridiculous as it is, actually provides a lot of interesting gameplay possibilities. Because instead of concentrating purely on driving fast, you can send cars into oncoming traffic and then warp out of them. You know, set up roadblocks with cars and then warp out of those, warp across the city.
You can just be a really terrible person.
I know, right?
Oh, no, 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 just trying to get to work.
Now I'm going to go in a head-on collision.
Well, that's fun, you know.
Someone animate that with stick figures.
John Anderson, listener John Anderson writes in to say, hey guys, John here.
Hi, John.
I've been listening for about a year. I just wanted to share with you my utter disappointment that shot through me as I opened the review for Driver San Francisco on IGN.
Oh,
my problem was not the score, but the simple fact that it was not reviewed by either Damon or Greg.
Oh.
Although I have absolutely no interest in this game, whether it is good or not, I was truly hoping to hear Greg or Damon's sultry voice tear into the hilarious premise that is Coma Mode in the video review, as has been done on the show before to my great enjoyment. I'm sure seeing how it was just reviewed, this episode will still be filled with much screaming, laughing, yelling in regards to this crazy game, and I look forward to hearing it all.
Did Keza do a video review?
I think so. Yeah. Yes, they should.
If anything,
have done.
You should be happy to hear her dulcet tones.
Yeah.
She's got a beautiful Scottish accent.
Mm.
Well, John, the big thing here at IGN is always that we want you to know that our reviews are credible. It's the same reason I didn't review Infamous, why Colin isn't reviewing Resistance. Clearly, Damon and I have sacrificed our objectivity on Driver San Francisco. We're from San Francisco. We know the city so well.
Yeah, we're too close to the game.
I mean, I love getting in comas.
In previews, it looked dumb, but I guess I want to. Hearing her give it that high of a score makes me interested to at least try it.
I always said that it was if they stuck with the B movie, if they knew they were making fun of the fact you're in a coma and doing all this stuff, it would be a fun game. So the previews didn't make it look dumb. You projected dumbness on
it. No, the previews I went and saw of the game.
Didn't you come with me for one and you got up in the middle of it and left?
Yeah.
Wait, you openly laughed out loud in front of a developers, right?
That's true. That was true. Yeah, the first time I ever saw it. Because he was trying to tell me about it with a straight face. I'm like,
is it framed as a serious mode? Like, you're in a coma, like, trying to be, like,
I don't,
not I mean, a, like, a when they joke. First told us about it, like, two E3s ago, yeah, that's why I started cracking up.
I mean, that has to be tongue-in-cheek, I would assume.
You hope so.
I mean, I think so. Ghost swapping between cars.
I think it ended up being tongue in cheek, but whether or not it was originally intended to be, I don't know.
Is what I'm saying. I mean, it looked really dumb in previews, but it doesn't mean it can't be fun, even if it's dumb as hell. Dead Rising is a dumb game, in my opinion, but it's fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually, I was playing Serious Sam Double D,
and that's a dumb as hell game.
It's so dumb.
Would you describe Insect or Earth Defense Force the same way?
Earth Defense Force is idiotic, but it's fun. It's mindless, totally fun.
How about that, Greg? How about that God of War Origins?
How about that God of War Origins? I had a fun with it. I had a fun with it.
How about that Kratos?
Oh, Kratos, I don't like, and that makes the internet mad. When you in a review, you just say that I don't like someone.
So your opening line to your God of War Origins review is: look up dumb character in the fictional dictionary, and you'll find a photo of Kratos.
Kratos is a stupid character.
Where's the fictional dictionary?
It's usually around your balls.
I thought they. Why didn't you just call it the fictionary?
I agree, though.
Well, right? I would have gotten a highlight in my edit, be like, nobody knows what this is.
I agree, though. He's a terrible character. Just like the guy from Prototype was a horrible character I hated.
Yeah.
He had just a hoodie,
like,
though.
Just like Cole in Infamous, in the first Infamous, I didn't like as a character.
Okay. I don't think he's as dumb as Kratos.
No, he's not as dumb as Kratos, but I'm saying there were lots of, not Ezio, but...
Altair.
Altair was not a very likable guy in the very first game.
It's
not,
for me.
Do you mean he's a shallow character?
Yes.
Do you mean there's no reason to be cheering for him?
I don't. The cheering thing, I don't even worry about. Like, my whole thing is that he yells everything he says. Like, who does this? Who is this?
And it's like Batman has sort of that thing going on in the
but that's movie. A character. I mean, Batman has moments where he's not
Kratos?
Being Batman like that. Even when Kratos is just having a normal conversation. Like, for me, it was the biggest example of this. Like, the chance he had to not be like this was in God of War 3, he's sarcastic to somebody, but he's still yelling it. He's like, oh, thank you so much! what range did it?
Oh, okay, Greg Miller, what just happened?
Yes, hey, what range indeed, ladies and gentlemen. GarageBand unexpectedly quit there, and we were freaking out, because we've been having a good scoop so far.
Yeah,
Charles is here, he's ready to say penis, we're all going to have some fun.
The spirit of Kratos descended upon the hard drive.
The YouTube kids.
Like, stop.
And that was the interesting thing, it's like so many people...
I think it was a Kratos fan that sabotaged the podcast.
There were so many people hating on in the comments of the review, but the real hate was on YouTube. The real hate is on YouTube, because in the video review, I think I go pretty fine, and then at the very end, on my pros and cons... I have three pros and one con, and the con is Kratos sucks. And it's all... For a while, the likes and dislikes were, like, right by each other, and now, like, dislikes are way ahead.
And yeah, YouTube comments can be very brutal.
Mm-hmm. They are very brutal.
Yeah, they're actually, I mean, as mean as IGN comments can seem, the YouTube comments are worse.
I go and read YouTube comments just to get a good laugh, though.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the most famous one is this one where this, like... You know those things that you see at carnivals that have all the really long swings attached? So they get spinning
and
the swings are extending way out to the side. One of them snaps and it falls to the ground and people go flying through the air and the most like bumped up comment is, how many dead, lol?
Oh, God. Send me that link to Onus.
Yeah.
Greg, you also say in your review here of God of War Origins, you say, some love the God of War story and swear by it.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. No. Really? You should read the comments, man. Plenty of people.
I love the story.
I live with Mike Mitchell, and Mike Mitchell was trying to sell me on that. He's like, "No, there's a real story here." I'm like, "What? What story is?" And I'm like, "I think the sun got hidden. Someone stole the sun. That's what I was fighting in a town, and now the sun has been stolen."
They basically go and look through an old book of Greek mythology and say, "Who haven't we involved yet?"
Exactly.
This fucking guy.
Who
now,
can we murder?
Now he's
what
mad.
God can we totally murder and destroy? But they're fun to play.
So God of War Origins is the two PSP games.
Yeah.
Chains of Olympus. HD versions of them for PlayStation 3.
Yeah, with trophies.
And you thought it was great. You gave it a 9.0.
Yeah, totally. I highly recommend
it. Despite Kratos being in it.
Yeah, well, I think... I put Talk About in there, right? Like, for years... Like, God of War 3 was the first one that I beat. First God of War I finished. I played all the other ones. I had started them, but just never finished them because I got so... bored. And I always talk about this, like, I don't think I have enough testosterone for God of War. Just, like, because I'm not that guy. I'm never screaming, obviously.
So, I mean, what would you like for Kratos to do?
Well, it's too late now.
To stop yelling at some point?
I would love sincere moments from him. Like, when he's talking to Athena, why not... I mean, talk to her, just to have a conversation.
I mean, a moment where he breaks down because he killed his own wife and kids.
He killed his wife and kids, and like even when he sees his wife and kids now, whatever, it's way too late now, kids. When he sees these people in visions or whatever, it's never Calliope. He yells in the same way he yells at Zeus. It's like, what do you do? No wonder the ghost runs away from you. Nobody wants to be with you. You're a monster.
Is it the same actor playing Kratos in every game?
Yeah.
Who is that guy? Do we know who this guy is?
I think it's Wilford Brimley.
I want to have a... We need to have him on games. We need to have an interview with him. Or he just shouts everything.
What's your motivation for this scene?
How do the HD visuals look on PS3?
Ghost of Sparta. No, I'm sorry. Chains of Olympus. It doesn't look all that hot. It was Ready at Dawn's first PSP one. Mm. Ghost of Sparta looks awesome. Ghost of Sparta looked awesome on PSP.
It has dual analog controls.
And true. That's the thing. Really I bet it really feels good to control them with the DualShock.
Yeah. It's got 3D. As well.
Oh, that's... I'm really interested in hearing more about that.
Yeah, that's great.
NadStar213 begs to differ with you, Greg. He comments, "What a stupid thing to put as a negative, Greg. Kratos sucks, LOL. He's the best character in the whole history of gaming, in my opinion."
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's a good thing you're only four, so you have a lot of catching up to do.
One of the biggest announcements to come out of PAX last week is that Valve is still not making Half-Life 3. They're still working on other stuff instead of Half-Life 3. The latest project they're going to do instead of giving us the game we want is Counter-Strike Global Offensive.
Which is fine.
Yeah, it'll be very cool, I'm sure.
Yeah, and I mean, so actually, speaking of Half-Life 3, there was a story that came out recently where some fans were outside of Valve's office and... And on cardboard...
That was Anthony.
I tried to lean away.
Yeah,
you didn't lean away far enough. Sorry, Charles.
On cardboard signs wrote, you know, when is Half-Life 3 coming out? Is Half-Life Left 4 Dead? That kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And Gabe Newell, boss at Valve, essentially went out and apparently bought them lunch. Allegedly, according to news reports.
according to legend.
But when I was up there to look at Counter-Strike,
Did he buy you lunch?
No, I did not get... Hmm. Not lunch directly.
I'm totally tapped out. These kids came by.
But the signs are in Valve now. They're in the lobby. That's cool. They're just sitting there, which is neat. It's just there alongside a giant Valve thing and a turret from Team Fortress that beeps at you and spins around all the time if you walk by it.
There was a great, you know, the lolcat text you put on the lolcat images. Somebody had the
it's called Impact. You're talking about the fonts?
Yes, thank you very much. They had the image of Gabe out there with the kids in the chairs, and it the text on top said, "Beg for Half-Life. Announce Counter-Strike the next day."
Yeah,
nobody laughed at that. I thought it was hilarious. I guess it was more of a visual joke. Sorry,
I mean, I don't think we're going to hear anything about Half-Life for a while now. I mean, after Portal came out, it was like Valve only had one more announced project. So it was like maybe Half-Life is going to happen because usually there's two up in the air for them. That seems to be
because they're also doing Dota 2.
But Counter-Strike shouldn't take that long to finish because it's mostly just a consoleized version of Source, right? Well, like Counter-Strike Source?
I don't know if I would call it consoleized in the sense that, I mean, I think a lot of people say consoleized and it means the mechanics of the original are somehow compromised.
I don't mean the derogatory, I just mean that it's been adapted to work on, like, Xbox
Live
and PSN.
It will be on consoles, but that, I mean, the game plays like Counter-Strike, and I mean, it's still all about precision aiming, like, it's like, you know, you have to aim at the exact right pixel, like, as opposed, there's no, like, auto, like,
hitbox
snap,
or anything.
Anything like that. Like, if you want to be successful, at least on the PC version, which is the one I was playing, I didn't actually play it on consoles.
Is it different enough on PC to be excited about?
I mean, there's a few new items that are put in. I think the Molotov is the biggest new addition, which is basically, like, it sets the ground on fire in a fairly large area. And does damage over time, but doesn't actually set you on fire. So if you get hit by it and move off of the fire, as soon as you're off the fire, you're no longer taking damage.
They also didn't announce. Sorry. Continue.
Well, I was just going to say. So basically, it seems less of like a direct damage weapon and more of a way to block off an area of the map. Because I mean, a lot of the Counter-Strike maps, there's a lot of old ones returning, and the people who've been playing this game know every single inch of these maps at this point. So having a way to essentially block an area off where you know, okay, for a couple seconds, the other team is not going to come through this way because obviously they're not going to charge across, you know, a carpet of fire. That seems really useful.
They didn't announce how much it was going to cost, though, right? Like, they haven't announced any pricing or anything.
I mean, I would assume
it'll be 10 or 15 bucks.
I assume it's going to be a low price.
See, I'm just saying, maybe it'll be free. and on PC.
Huh?
And on PC, it'll be free to play, and that's going to be their next free to play game.
I don't exactly remember what they said, but it's not going
to
be free.
Okay. I just thought maybe because Xbox Live allows for free to play games now, I thought maybe this was going to be.
But there isn't anything yet on Xbox Live that's free to play, is there?
No, but there will be. I mean, it's coming.
Like Super Monday Night Combat is going free to play, but they were telling me they can't bring it to Xbox Live yet because they can't work that out with Microsoft.
Well, and Blacklight's going free to play.
But not coming to Xbox Live Arcade yet.
And there is a free to play coming to Xbox Live Arcade Ghost Recon game as well that Ubisoft's making. So I just thought maybe since they're going to allow free to play, I could see Valve, because they've already proven they can be very successful with TF2.
Well, I should also point out, just because TF2, I mean, there's a lot of microtransactions in that game at this point. That's not the plan for Counter-Strike. There will be no hats. You won't be able to buy hats. There will be hats on.
But I want hats.
There will be hats on the character models, but you cannot replace them.
Maybe so. For anyone who actually doesn't know what Counter-Strike is, maybe give a brief overview.
Okay, so I mean, it's a much more stripped down version of a first person shooter that is still basically plays like it did, 10, 11 years ago, where there aren't kill streaks, you don't regenerate health or anything like that. It's not about like this macro persistent game where you're just unlocking all this stuff constantly to give yourself better gear and perks. There's no additional skills you learn that can make you a better character. It's basically just all about aiming, about your knowledge of the map and your ability to work with your team.
And not only that, but what made Counter-Strike so famous originally was that it was like the first game that would kill you with the drop of a hat. Like one bullet can kill you no problem.
If you get hit by an AWP sniper rifle, you will die.
Yeah.
And if you get hit by an assault rifle burst anywhere near your face or whatever, you will die. You die.
There's no.
Very fast. You really don't have prolonged firefights in that game unless people are just trying to essentially suppress the other team, because there's such a risk of death that if you hear gunfire, you are hiding immediately. So most of the matches of the game are moving slowly around the environment, trying not to make too much noise with footsteps.
Yeah, that's the footstep feature is one that I always thought was really cool.
Yeah, and you have to be really careful moving around those maps, especially with people out there who can, as soon as you poke around a corner, they will pop you with a sniper rifle, and that's it, you're dead.
Charles. How big a deal is it that on the PS3 version you can use mouse and keyboard?
I think that's necessary, honestly, just because the game is so much about precision accuracy that, especially if PS3 players are going to be playing with PC players, like you need that.
Oh, so they are going to be playing together?
Yeah.
All three?
No.
Platforms?
Microsoft doesn't allow that.
It's that Sony Steam thing?
They're totally poning Microsoft.
It's really paying off, too.
Microsoft also won't allow keyboard and mouse support because they think
it'll make them a PC.
It breaks up their audience too, so which sucks because at the point where they allow mouse and keyboard functionality on like a PS3, just give me like at that point don't make like a consoleized version of like Supreme Commander or sure. something like that. Like just give me the RTS on PS3 and let me use mouse and keyboard. Like
yeah,
now
that was
the
problem.
Play RTS games.
I will. I'm a Supreme Commander 2 defender. I actually really like that game.
I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying that at that point, if there's no reason to even try and rework console controls, just make mouse and keyboard work for PS3 and
make that happen. Get Steam over. I want to play Civ 5 and get trophies.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see if that winds up happening. But Counter-Strike does have a little bit of a progression thing, because as you make kills or your team wins by. There are bomb planting maps where basically one team tries to plant a bomb, the other tries to stop you or defuse once you've planted, and then there's hostage rescue maps. And if you do well and you don't die, then you can buy better weapons and buy better gear. So you get like assault rifles, SMGs, sniper rifles, and then like grenade types that can really help out. So it pays off to be good at the game and succeed over successive rounds, because then you can save up money and buy better weapons. But that's only within the round itself. It's not like you don't
it's gone
the
at
game,
the end
go into another server. You don't have that money anymore. That starts over per round.
Charles Major Monkey has a question.
Okay,
Counter-Strike Source came to Mac. Do you know if Counter-Strike global offensive will be coming to Mac this time?
I didn't ask that specifically, so I don't want to answer that question.
I would be very surprised.
I don't want to answer that question.
Be very surprised if it didn't. All the Valve's other games have at least launched on Steam for Mac.
I would assume so.
Yeah.
I would assume it would be a Steam Play title, but I don't want to say for sure because I don't know right now. I'd have to look it up.
Not all Counter-Strike fans are really excited about this. Corporal D99 says, I have to admit, I am disappointed with this. It looks like this is just an update to Counter-Strike Source with no new additions besides a few new guns.
So it is very similar. They just switched up the things you can buy a little bit. I mean, it's basically meant, I think it's meant to be Counter-Strike for the new generation of consoles, because there was a Counter-Strike for the original Xbox.
Yeah.
And this is basically it's not really modernizing Counter-Strike at all. It's just will happen to be on Xbox 360 and PS3. It's still very much Counter-Strike. And I think one of the things people were a little irritated about is the 5v5 matchmaking, which is meant to sort of reflect what happens in the competitive world. But at least on PC, you can still do custom servers with
100 people.
With all the flexibility that you could do in Source. And sorry. And I mean, I think a lot of people are always going to hate on anything new with Counter-Strike because they're all about like 1.6, which is basically the most updated version of the older style of Counter-Strike before the pre Counter-Strike Source version of Counter-Strike.
I'm playing it in like 800x400 resolution on nothing but a giant CRT monitor. Like they do all the, they're so weird.
One of the things I used to do with Counter-Strike all the time though is because I was playing so much like back in way back when I was in college, is there were so many mods that came out for it that I would eventually start to do like crazy like Warcraft mods that would give you like magical powers and you would actually have progressive level up functionality within the game. And I don't know, I'd be interested to see if that sort of thing winds up happening with this as well on PC.
Anthony at PAX, you're hanging out with Notch, developer of Minecraft.
Oh my god,
more like I got like 30 seconds of his time long enough to put a microphone on him, and then it was like, you know, hands off of him.
Did you think he could very well be the richest person you've ever talked to? I mean, what other multimillionaires have you talked to?
That's a good question. I mean, yeah, he's probably way richer than even like Ken Levine or anything like that.
Just Minecraft has pulled in like 33 million pounds in revenue.
Right, and it's not like Ken Levine works for a company and has to share all that shit.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess you're right. He probably is. Wow. I didn't even think about that.
You know,
you would never know it, right? Like when see him at PAX, just like walking around his fedora, he could very well. What?
Bullshit. I saw him walking around at PAX, and as soon as he entered the room, everybody was like, oh, that's not from my guy.
No.
And just some kid, I shit you not, some kid ran up and broke the Halo and touched him and said, you are legendary.
Seriously, he's like demigod status.
What I'm trying
point,
to say
is, pretty strange.
is that if he walked just into a mall of people that didn't know him,
okay,
he's dressed in like a normal t-shirt and jeans. It's not like he all his money he's like spending on fancy clothes or anything. He still looks like another nerd who would just be
in his
basement.
like a gamer.
So you're saying he's like Warren Buffett, essentially.
Yes, exactly. He doesn't give a shit. Like, and he's still very humble. He takes pictures with everybody, and you know he's very nice, sweet man.
Oh.
And yeah, I mean, he's made one of the best games in the last year. Like,
and you're kind of a recent Minecraft convert.
Yeah, I am.
And now you're a super fiend.
Yeah. So it was very nice to meet him. I told him, I even had like that like geeky moment where I was like, yeah, I'm really thankful you're doing this. I bought your game twice. Like, which is true. I bought one for me and one for my friend. But
you pull out your iPhone, you have all these photos of your mud hut and all stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he's very... I didn't want to talk to him too much because his time was, like, super precious. Like, his handlers were like, let me see if he even has time to do anything with you guys. Like, he's, like, an extremely busy man.
Yeah.
So.
Well, so he was showing you the forthcoming updates
to Minecraft. Yeah, 1.8. And potentially 1.9 if they split it up, which it sounds more and more like they're going to do. So
yeah, although I'm still not clear which updates are going to be in 1.8 and which are going to be in 1.9.
I don't think they even know.
Okay,
I think they were just showing like, look at all this cool shit we plan on doing with Minecraft, and it basically turns Minecraft more into a game akin to an actual like RPG.
Mm-hmm.
NPCs to talk to get quests, quest villages, experience from killing monsters.
Right, but the experience like that was. I want the experience to do something, because right now it just fills up a bar, you get skill points.
And you don't have a skill tree.
And you have the little display that says, you have 6 skill points, but you can't actually do anything with the skill points.
Really? Yeah. They just stack?
Well, that'll be for, like, a future update.
I'm sure they're trying to figure it out, like, you know, like, mine picks last twice as long with this skill or whatever, you know, but who knows.
That would be pretty cool.
Right. I'm sure these are the same discussions going on between like their 5-man team. They're just like, who knows? We just got to tell them some shit's coming before November when our conference is and we release the game officially.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I think it's going to make the game totally different.
What is the new stuff that's being added?
Well, just that, adding quests and experiences.
That's it.
All of a sudden, it's like when you're doing that, it's like now, like when I go into Minecraft, I never know what I'm about to go do. I'm not trying to quest or level. I'm just like, I'm going to build a fucking wall.
Yeah.
And you can still do that.
Well,
a diving platform that you can only use once.
Yeah, I did that once too.
They have the creative mode that's going in that will be, you get any block type unlimited, and you can fly. And it's basically just for somebody who just wants to build stuff.
It's basically people were already modding that into the game anyways because they wanted to just build crazy shit like a replica of the Starship Enterprise. And now it's just it's a mode where you can do it without any mods. It's going to be built right into the main menu of the game. No additional downloads. Like, they know what people want, and that's really cool.
Yeah, I like what they're doing with the combat, too, where, like, you can get critical hits now.
Yeah.
Well, you will be able to once 1.8 comes out, where if you jump right before you hit an enemy and attack on your way down, it'll do a critical hit. You get a little sparkly display.
It's funny, because it's the only game where they could show me, like, and we're adding a sprint button, and I'd be like, yeah! Otherwise, I'd be like, fuck off.
The sprint button is really nice, because your character moves so slow. Your unmodded character movement in Minecraft is really, really slow. So
yeah.
having a sprint is cool, and I think Notch said that it might drain your food meter in survival.
Yeah, that's the thing about it. It's getting even more hardcore. You got to keep yourself fed, or else you'll be in trouble. And well, if you die, you lose experience.
Yeah, if you keep your food meter full in survival, assuming you're not on peaceful, then your health will regenerate.
Yeah.
Which is also useful.
But that's the only way to get health now. There's no more just eating something real quick for health. So.
And I think, the sprint function, too. Sorry, the sprint function, too, has a cool, like, mechanic where if you attack an enemy while sprinting, it knocks them back a really far distance.
They're enhancing the combat and stuff. Doing all these things that, like I said, should be like in any other game, you'd be like, duh, that should be in the game. But it isn't a finished game. So as the game nears completion, it's actually coming together into something that's looking even cooler than before.
Yeah, I'd be very interested to see what happens with the skill points.
I wonder what's going on with the XBLA version.
Yeah, who knows? I mean, man, when that comes out, I'm going to play all over again, especially if you have the ease of inviting people to your world over Xbox Live Arcade. Because right now, multiplayer is kind of a pain in the ass on PC.
Really? Yeah, and I don't think much has really officially been said about the 360 version, aside from it's going to be a slightly modified version. It's not going to be exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
It'll never come out.
It's coming out.
Oh, it'll definitely come out.
It already exists for Xperia phones. It's going to exist for XBLA.
I want to let the listeners know about something very cool. You can now listen to IGN podcasts straight from the IGN mobile app. m.ign.com.
Really?
From the menu at the top, you can just go to podcasts, and then everything's just there in a chronological order from most recently updated. You can play them right there from the app on your smartphone.
Wow. Yeah, it's very cool. So now everybody can shut up about when's it going up on iTunes. It's right there. Just listen on your gosh darn phone.
This is a Code Foo project by one of our Code Fooers by the name of Trevor Boone. Very, very cool little pet project that he had.
Did we hire
him? I'm not sure. Listeners, remember you can always reach us at gamescoop@ign.com. We're gonna start doing something new next week. Greg, we've lost Greg.
I'm Greg's looking at the mobile app. I want to see how it works.
Yes, now is the time to do that.
Damon, I'm still angry.
I'm angry. It's a really good impression.
Does it still have have you listened to one yet?
Melissa was showing me one yesterday.
Do I do a bump at the front? He had me record bumps. I didn't welcome
you
people.
You
I didn't
just
have
to actually.
So.
And let Damon finish what he's
saying. Ah, boy, it's a good scoop.
I forgot what I was saying. Oh, yeah, we have something to give away. So we're going to start something new next week. We're going to have a listener email of the week. The best email of the week I'll pick, and you'll get a special IGN prize.
A PlayStation 3?
Well, or a signed Dead Island comic book.
Signed
maybe.
By Ark, today's GameScoop cast.
Yes. So the email of the week next week, we'll get this very special Dead Island comic book that we've all signed.
It gives you a rundown of all the characters. So I could actually use this to tell you about... What that? The knives expert, why she uses knives.
Mm-hmm. Is it because
she's an undercover police officer, so now what do you gotta say?
Is it because she
a sushi
knives?
Chef?
I'm just saying I don't put it past Techland to make something kind of offensive.
God
like
forbid
that.
Someone's allowed to grow around you, Anthony.
Let's check in with the listeners.
Hey, listeners.
This is Marcus Luke. Marcus Luke.
Marcus Luke.
Says...
Hola.
Scoop!
Scoop!
I have finally recovered from the greatness that is PAX and have accepted the fact that I'm back to reality with a wife of 8 years, 2 kids, and 1 more year of graduate school.
For 1 week, and he was just having sex with every cosplayer he saw.
Doing key bumps in the bathroom.
If this doesn't earn me super fan status, I don't know what will. But while at PAX, I brought 2 of my friends with me who had never listened to GameScoop before to come and listen to the GameScoop panel. As someone who's listened to every episode, I gave my friends a brief history of the show, like how the show was briefly called Game Sausage, to help prepare them for it. The live podcast was epic, and we all thoroughly enjoyed it and appreciated it, especially Anthony Gallegos rocking the mic.
Yes. Everybody, if you haven't, you should have listened to last week's podcast, but you should also go watch the YouTube video that Steve Barnes wasn't, McBarnes was nice enough to post. Google, or whatever, YouTube, IGN, GameScoop, PAX, Part 5.
My friends were also impressed at how approachable and nice both Damon Hatfield and Greg Miller are.
Damn right. You were a dick, though, Anthony.
We crossed paths with both Damon and Greg at Blue Sea Sushi.
Oh!
I don't remember this.
Oh, are these the guys who were listening?
But they weren't talking to us.
No, on the way out, we ran into people. Remember, on the way out, they said
Scoop.
Oh,
that's what it was. Okay, yeah.
Damon were eating at Blue Sea Sushi, I noticed two people right next to us, like, totally eavesdropping on our conversation,
Greg likes to tell me I'm a dick to everyone.
I do not like to tell you that. I don't like calling out.
He calls a spade a spade. That's all I'm saying. You know.
Anthony's just quiet. So it comes off as dickish.
I've always felt weird calling you guys my friends without ever physically meeting you. But after the experience at PAX, I have upgraded you guys to the friendship level of I will not call the cops on you if you do something illegal.
Oh, nice. Thanks. That's, like key bumps in the
level.
Bathroom.
That's a really good level.
I didn't get a chance to ask this question at the PAX panel, so here goes. Mary Boff Kill, PAX Comic Con E3.
Oh, man, is that tough. Wow.
Yeah, mostly because I'm not really clear how you marry a convention. I don't know.
Which one do you want to spend the rest of your life with?
Oh, my God.
See, I'd marry PAX.
Marry PAX.
Well, and then, yeah, Boff Comic Con, because they have all the hot kids. Yeah, yeah, exactly, right? Yeah. I thought that in that order is how it works out.
Does that mean you can never leave the convention?
I don't know, Charles. I don't make the rules of Mary Boff Kill.
This is Levi Simpson.
Levi.
He says, I've changed. You guys are awesome. He says, hey, GameScoop, my name's Levi. I love the show. Started watching a few months ago. But I downloaded Knockin' Boots by accident when I was expecting thoughtful insights on gaming. The longer I listened, the more I thought that you guys were idiots. But recently, I decided to give you all another try, and I haven't stopped listening since. In fact, I've gone back and downloaded a bunch of old GameScoop's Knockin' Boots, which I now love, and beyond. But the Live from PAX show was above and beyond, the greatest podcast I've heard from you guys. Everything about it was amazing. I loved your topic of people's opinions of IGN, and Anthony's song was so touching that it brought sadness to my heart, seeing as I was, up until recently, one of those haters. But now onto my questions, of which I have two. First, since I've started listening, I've started seeing that I've begun acting more and more like you guys, mostly Greg. Is this weird?
No. You imprint on your friends.
I was going to say a little.
A little weird.
Okay. Are you eating more chicken wings? Are you buying wiener dogs?
And second, I consider myself a gamer, but I shy from calling myself a hardcore gamer. This is because my gaming hobby has really only flared up in the last couple of years.
Like herpes.
So I was wondering if there were a short list of games that are just must-plays that you could give me.
Yeah, it is unfortunate that games are referred to as some kind of disease and or affliction often. In both negative and positive senses. That game is so addictive.
IGN.com.
No, there's no way. I wish that we had lists that told you what games to play.
Look up.
I would top 25. Or something.
Even a top 100 modern games.
Yeah, top 100 modern games.
We did do that.
Top 100 modern games.
Just go to IGN, go to reviews, and click sort by score.
I got to run for this First Friday thing.
Really?
Yeah, it's already. I'm supposed to be in there at 11:30.
Nah, you're not.
I want to make sure the demo's running. So remember, if you're ever coming to San Francisco and it's going to be a First Friday, make sure you sign up for it way in advance. So go.ign.com/FirstFridayScoop. It's all lowercase, all spelled out.
There you go.
You'll get tours from me and eat free cheese pizza.
You won't necessarily. Actually, let's put a little. You won't necessarily get to have a tour by Greg.
Correct. Yeah, we cycle people out.
Before you go, pronounce this guy's name.
This is my good friend. Eugene Tokay! Just call him Tokay from now.
Okay.
I actually have a top three from 2011, if possible.
You have a what?
Three games that I would definitely recommend that came out this year.
Okay.
Portal 2.
Portal 2.
Dave 6.
All right. Well, Anthony's just... Anthony's stealing everything.
If you're doing this at 11:50, I'm bringing the kids in your way.
Okay.
But yeah, Deus Ex, which I haven't finished yet, but I love that game, even though it definitely... It has some problems, but I absolutely love that game. Portal 2 and The Witcher 2.
Yeah, I can't wait to play Witcher 2 on 360.
Yeah, and actually they showed CD Projekt Red showed The Witcher 2 at Gamescom this year, which is the convention that happens out in Cologne, and it looks really good. I mean, like the visuals on PC were amazing, assuming you could get it running properly, which after a few difficulties upon launch wasn't that difficult. But yeah, I mean, it looked amazing on PC and it looks really pretty on Xbox 360, and I like that game so much more than Dragon Age 2.
Dragon Age 2, man.
I can't recommend Witcher 2 enough when people are saying, I don't know what, you know, RPG to play this year. It's like, obviously everyone's going to say Skyrim. That's a no-brainer. Yeah. But Witcher 2 way before Dragon Age 2.
Yes.
It has to happen.
Speaking of Gamescom, this is what Rujin. Man, you gotta settle it. You gotta get it together.
Sorry, guys. Coffee is sitting back with me. I'm really sorry.
Rujin says, he wants to know, where's the love for Europe? Says, I can understand why we are not eligible for our IGN contests and giveaways, but where is the rest of the interaction with European fans? It's great that IGN organizes community events and reader meetups, but I haven't heard of any of these events during Gamescom. I've traveled to Cologne the past 2 years and even met you last year. We need you to show that we can. We need to show you that we can get Panda 2. Dude!
We did a meetup at Gamescom, but if you wanted to find out more about that, you have to follow people on Twitter.
Yes.
Because it was kind of last-minute impromptu. And but I will say that the UK office also does meetups as well. They do.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a podcast and everything like that, too. The UK team.
That our Gamescom meet and greet was awesome, actually. We're sorry that you missed it. But, definitely follow us on Twitter so you don't miss out on impromptu events like that. This is Malad. Long-time writer, first-time listener. Just wondering if you'll be doing a Game Scoop each day of TGS like you did 2 years ago. I'm afraid not. Neither Greg or myself are going to TGS this year. That will be Ryan Clements and Rich George.
I would love to go back to TGS, but they don't really have any PC games there anymore. That's my coverage beat at this point at IGN. So I can't really go there. The one thing I desperately want to happen at TGS is a Monster Hunter game be announced for Vita. I am buying a Vita as soon as that happens.
Of course, that's inevitable.
It's going
to
happen.
I'm assuming it has to happen, but I can't believe they haven't announced it yet. I guess TGS is the place to do it.
There are 18 unannounced Vita games for TGS.
As they say, Monster Hunter is big in Japan, but I mean, that is a purchase lock for a Vita for me.
Yeah.
I love that game so much.
This is Chris Hogarth. I'm from Ontario, Canada. I have a question for you guys. Do you know him, Charles? Chris?
I think we're actually pretty close contact. Yeah. The one house in Canada that you can get to on that road. Yeah.
Have you ever got even just a little teary-eyed from an epic moment in a video game? For example, the ending of the DLC from Mass Effect 2 Overlord choked me up a little bit.
I have, but it was only because I had stayed up for like 19 hours straight playing something, so I was in one of those emotional states where I was like, oh, they died!
What game?
Crying out of vitamin deficiency.
Do you really want me to tell you what game it was? It was really shameful.
Well, of course.
It was like a Romance of the Three Kingdoms game.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I remember.
That's crazy.
Because I had stayed up all night playing it. But
I don't think I've ever actually cried, but I was affected by the ending of Half-Life 2 Episode 2.
Yeah,
very intense ending.
When you think... Spoilers... When you think the horse dies in fucking...
Yeah, that was also intense.
In what's it called? Shadows. That's pretty intense. Mm-hmm. I know I'm going to cry when the new Team Eco game comes out in 2020. Because that giant dragon, luck dragon thing, you know is going to die and it's going to be sad.
Hope not.
Yeah, I haven't cried. I really don't. I don't cry very often. I think it's a Canadian thing. I'm not sure. But one of the games I remember vividly, just being really emotionally invested in, was the original Longest Journey.
That was good too.
I got so into that game and the character and just everything about it. And I mean, I didn't actually break down into tears, but that was one of those games that once I started playing, I was so rooting for the main character and so concerned for her well-being that. That I couldn't stop until it was done. I missed a lot of class.
I think that's why this guy sent out that email, because he's Canadian wondering if there's something wrong with him because he doesn't cry. So, no, there's nothing wrong with you.
This is Jim Getta. He says, I've recently upgraded from a crappy low-end 4-year-old laptop to a respectable laptop with decent specs, which opens up a lot more gaming possibilities for me. Mm-hmm. I've been a Wii-only gamer this generation. While I can't complain, I've played a lot of great titles I've enjoyed. I have missed out on a great deal of some of the more advanced hardcore titles of the past several years. I've downloaded Steam. I've been playing Team Fortress 2, Far Cry 2, Borderlands, Portal, and the like. Have really enjoyed them. My question is, what are some of the best PC games, either retail or downloadable, that you feel are must-play? So, there's too many. This is like another good opportunity to point out that we do have a top 25 modern PC games list.
We do have that, which covers basically the past decade, essentially. And I mean... Obviously, Half-Life needs to be in there. You should check out Civ 5 at this point.
Minecraft, League of Legends.
Absolutely, Minecraft. League of Legends would be the one to try there. I don't know if he's into MMOs or whatever, but I mean, I think still a good starting point for that is World of Warcraft. Although I will say of the more recent,
Jesus, dude.
of the more recent MMO crop, I got into Lord of the Rings Online a lot, and I had a great time with that game, and I haven't tried it since it went free to play, but it is free to play now, so that should be a pretty easy game to
test. There are a ton of free to play MMOs now.
There are so many, but Lord of the Rings Online, just because I love Lord of the Rings so much, and I thought that game did a really good job of translating that universe into a virtual setting.
And you can play the first 20 levels of Warcraft for free too.
WoW is the free trial got uncapped, so the beginning portions are actually free in that game. Although it's not still a fully free to play game. But
yeah.
This is Jackson Mills. He says, I'm a young Australian lad who will be playing his first music gig in a matter of days.
Hot.
Every year, my school does this thing where kids can perform pieces that they've been working on for the year. Me and my friends decided to cover Someday by The Stroke. I think he means The Strokes.
Strokes. Stroke is an unfortunate band.
The song's coming along nicely, but I am nervous as shit. I know there are some musicians on the podcast, like Damon and Anthony, and I was wondering how you guys deal with the pre-show jitters. I was wondering, Anthony, was the crowd at PAX the biggest crowd you've performed in front of?
No. My high school graduation, I sang at, and my high school graduation had like multiple thousands of people at it.
There you go.
So that was the biggest, but that was the second biggest crowd I've ever performed in front
and
of.
And you told us beforehand you were a little nervous.
I was really nervous, especially because I didn't feel confident in my ability to play the song without messing up, which I did, because I only learned it like or taught myself it like 2 days before. So,
but yeah. We should point out that it was fine.
It was
like the stumbles were fine. It actually made it more endearing, actually. So,
but it's always nerve wracking.
If you mess up, Jackson Mills, if you mess up, just keep going. Don't let it stop you.
You're going to have the jitters.
Yeah.
But then after you get done with it once, it'll get easier over time.
I'll tell you, the first show I ever played, I was in junior high, and my friends and I started a band, and we were playing Metallica covers. And so we got like the school together, the school assembly. We got everyone in this auditorium, and we were going to play Inner Sandman. We started playing, and it was fine. And I was the like guitarist and vocalist. So I step up to the mic to start singing, and I realized at that moment, I had never even tried singing and playing my guitar at the same time. And I couldn't do it. Like playing guitar is one thing, singing is one thing. Doing them together is its own skill entirely. And it never occurred to me that I might not be able to do that. So I couldn't do that. And so we just had to play instrumental versions of Inner Sandman, Sad But True, and The Unforgiven.
It's okay. It's still pretty good. I will say one more PC recommendation,
just
because I haven't mentioned it between like Portal and Deus Ex and all that stuff. Is Shogun 2, if you're looking for a strategy game, which came out this year, which is excellent.
Oh, yeah. That's another PC game
StarCraft 2.
Wish I could play.
Oh, well, yeah, or StarCraft 2.
One more email here. This is actually something we were talking about on our walk back from burritos yesterday. This is from Nick Brown. He says, I happen to live in a very unfortunate part of Seattle that is infested with large, fearless wolf spiders that like to sneak up on me and crawl up my legs, especially when playing video games and listening to games.
Really?
What?
Since I am terrified of spiders, these happenings scare the holy balls out of me. Spook me into the wee hours of the morning. I'm afraid that they'll jump on me while I'm sleeping. The only way I can fall asleep is by being distracted by the shenanigans of the Scoop crew, which I thank you for. My question is, what are the Scoop team's biggest fears in general? What kinds of things really get you spooked in video games? We were talking about underwater stuff yesterday.
Oh, yeah. So anytime I am out swimming in a water of the depth that I can no longer see the bottom, I completely freak out. And I mean, I enjoy swimming. I like being in the water. It's just once I can't see what's underneath me.
Yeah, I'm right there. I'm right there, too.
Yeah, if it's a giant pool, if it's a giant group of jellyfish just like waiting to betentacle me or whatever.
That's a good word.
I don't know if I actually used that properly. I probably didn't. But anyway, I mean, they have stingers all over the place. So you can't really see them because they're like see-through. So you just like, you can find yourself in the midst of a giant sea of jellyfish. And it's just like, well, what do I do now? And then sharks.
In the early days of EverQuest, before there was like websites that really broke down like where everything is. Like nowadays in World of Warcraft, you don't ever see water where everyone doesn't know what mobs are in that water. There was this ocean in between the two continents. And I was riding the boat, and I fell off the boat. And so I just fell into the ocean. I don't know how to get back on the boat. I don't know where to go. I'm going to die, lose my experience, lose my gear, because it all sinks to the bottom of the ocean. And all I knew is that someone told me somewhere in this ocean is a giant sea dragon. But I don't know that for sure, because there was no webpage I could check. So I'm just, like, treading water, like looking for an island to land on. And I know there's a fucking sea dragon somewhere, and I, like, see sharks and stuff. It was the scariest time I've ever had playing a game.
Yeah, I've had a similar sensation as what happens to me in real life when I enter really deep water that's just essentially like black in front of me because it's so deep. Is in World of Warcraft when you go to the sides of continents that stretch out across, well, beyond that, there is only the ocean between the two continents. It's just a huge expanse of nothingness, of just, you know, inky water, and that is terrifying to me, just because I don't know what's over there. And also, you start losing breath at some point and have to scramble back to the surface. But
yeah, drowning in games is really nerve wracking too. Like in any Tomb Raider, when she's just like, and you're just like, oh,
yeah, that sucks.
It's really disturbing.
And also the shark in Crisis, that was pretty scary.
Basically, water scary.
I mean, you're wearing a nano suit, so maybe you feel a little safer, but there is still a shark that will come out and well. It'll do its thing.
Unfortunately, me and Charles live on a planet that's mostly made of water. That's mm-hmm. the sad part.
You and just you and Charles, you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a different planet. It's pretty nice. It's sunny most of the time.
Nice. Speaking of sunny, it's going to be a beautiful long holiday weekend here in San Francisco, so we're going to get to it. That's all the scoops we have for you this week. Everybody, if you're in the U.S., enjoy, have a safe weekend. And if you're not in the U.S., enjoy your weekend anyway. If you're in the Bay Area, come out to Rocket Room tomorrow night. I'll be DJing the dubsteps. Anthony will be dancing to the dubsteps, and he needs dance partners.
If you live in Cologne, Germany, I need you to go to the Hyatt Regency and go to the bar there and tell Laura that Anthony says hello.
Did she accept Nick's friend request?
I don't know yet.
We've tried to locate her on Facebook. We might have located her.
She works on the other side of the Love Bridge from the Dom. Yeah. Beautiful brown-haired girl.
She's really beautiful. Thank you, Greg, who's no longer here anymore. Posthumously. Thank you, Anthony. Thank you, Charles. My name is Damon. This is IGN Game Scoop, and we're out. Come get some. Beware.
IGN GameScoop. Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am extremely excited to invite you to Rachel Uncensored. It's my podcast where I sit down and get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. And sometimes we might be under the influence when we do so. We cover things from personal stories to hot button issues. And it's the only place on the internet you can find an uncensored version of me. It's a side of me that you might not have seen before because it's not the most family or brand friendly. But don't worry, I'm still sort of slightly a decent human being. If you're intrigued, then make sure you check it out. New episodes drop every Wednesday. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.